The startup crowd loves disruption, but what if the disruption is a life or death matter? I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Leading with what may be limits to tech innovation, the Wall Street Journal is reporting the federal agency that administers Medicare and Medicaid could impose serious penalties on the founder, Elizabeth Holmes. The company, a startup once valued at $9 billion, aims to revolutionize blood testing with a system that requires just a finger prick and a few drops of blood. Theranos ran into trouble last fall when regulators found problems with test results. John Carreyrou is a reporter at the Wall Street Journal who's been following this.
The sanctions that CMS is proposing, CMS being the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, those sanctions are pretty much the most severe in its arsenal, revoking the Northern California lab of Theranos' license to test human specimens and barring it from the Medicare program. The result would be that the owners of that lab would then be barred from owning or operating any laboratory for the next 2 years.
The company here, Theranos, is one of these Silicon Valley disruptors. It's sort of like an Uber, and the existing medical testing companies are the taxi companies. Now, I understand that standards have to be high for medical testing, which, of course, can be a matter of life and death. But to what extent do you think that innovation is getting penalized here?
We're no longer talking about smartphone apps. We're talking about stuff, as you said, that can have life or death consequences. You can no longer be as cavalier as you might be with just software or programming. You have to hold yourself to a higher standard. And that's certainly what the health regulators are telling Theranos.
The Wall Street Journal's John Carreyrou. Mr. Carreyrou, thank you.
Thank you.
Theranos acknowledges it's received the letter from the regulators and told the Journal it's working to make changes to avoid imposition of penalties. Tech in Medicine, Part 2 now. The federal government has invested more than $30 billion in electronic medical records. The idea is that these records will let doctors and hospitals improve patient care and potentially lower costs by tracking all of the treatment a person receives. But a new report out today finds those records are not as comprehensive as advertised. From the Marketplace Health Desk at WHYY, Dan Gorenstein has the story.
Nearly half of patient face-to-face contact with healthcare providers, checkups, emergency room stays, even hospital admissions, were missing from their electronic records. This paper appears to be the first to quantify the problem. Harvard's Stephen Sumerai, one of the authors, says inaccurate electronic records like this are a safety threat.
There are many studies now that show that people are getting hurt because of the inability of systems to talk to each other.
The paper finds these records are often incomplete because various electronic record software systems are largely incompatible. University of Pennsylvania's Ross Capel says companies, Epic and Cerner are the largest, lack the financial incentives to make that happen.
Vendors have made a lot of money selling systems that didn't talk with each other and didn't code the data in exactly the same way.
Epic says the industry is in the process of developing standards to address this problem. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
We've been reporting this week from Puerto Rico on the effects of the $70 billion debt crisis. Today from Carolina, Puerto Rico, a town just east of the capital, San Juan. The town's claim to fame is that Baseball Hall of Famer Roberto Clemente was born there. Most Sundays, the Andujar family gets together to eat and drink and tell stories. This time they invited Marketplace's Andy Euler into their home, and it didn't take long for the conversation to turn to Puerto Rico's financial mess.
Ivan Andujar is 28 and works at Banco Popular, the largest bank in Puerto Rico. He got an accounting degree in the U.S. and came back to the island to start a family. He and his wife Karen have a 2-year-old. He says he thinks sometimes about going back to the mainland. They've even come up with a budget to do it.
Main reason right now that if I would leave, I would leave Puerto Rico is education for my kids.
Under pressure from hedge funds that own a lot of Puerto Rico's debt, the island has closed public schools, reduced university subsidies, and laid off teachers. Ivan knows he's lucky to have his job, but his family's still living month to month.
I really believe it's getting to the point that everybody's like desperate. You could feel the desperation in the streets. You could feel it. It's hard. It's hard to live here.
Ivan's wife, Karen, also works at Banco Popular. She has a marketing degree and works as an assistant to the bank's financial division. the stockbrokers. A lot of her job is answering phone calls of people asking the same question as the hedge funds. Are they going to get paid interest on their Puerto Rican bonds?
I just get the complaints, and I assisted people crying. Most of them are Puerto Ricans. I see a lot of people that just lost millions of dollars.
The island is buried in debt because it borrowed beyond its means. Money kept coming in because its bonds are tax-exempt, even for mainland investors. Karen says not even the people whose job it is to know what's going to happen in the markets have a guess as to Puerto Rico's future.
All the brokers of the firm just say that they don't know what is going to be happening. That's very bad because they're brokers. They need to predict that, but they don't have the... They don't have any idea what is going to be happening.
Karen is 6 months pregnant. Puerto Rico's been in a debt crisis for 10 years. She says she just hopes they'll be done talking about the island defaulting on loans by the time her kids are old enough to know what's going on. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
More of Andy's reporting from Puerto Rico, plus images of the faces behind the voices here, are at marketplace.org. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.